Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Waiting. You do it at grocery stores, in traffic, and at the doctor's office. But what if you could skip the wait altogether? Introducing TrustCare Plus, a healthcare membership that makes feeling better even faster. Skip the waiting room and enjoy priority access at any TrustCare clinic. Sick kid? Text your care crew day or night. Get discounts on prescriptions and so much more. Wait no more. Feeling better just got a whole lot faster. Join TrustCare Plus today. Plans start from just $15 a month. Learn more at TrustCareHealth.com/plus.
Roll free record on my count. 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2. Roll A, fade up on A.
Southern Miss to the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
Good afternoon, everyone across the state of Mississippi or on the World Wide Web, wherever you might tuning in the Eagle Hour. We're glad that you did make that choice today. I'm Kelly Sander, along with producer-engineer Will the Thrill Tony. We're in the Southern Bancorp Studios in Hattiesburg. Our buddy Luke Johnson is at the same studio in Laurel. On the program today, we're going to be talking with Patrick McGee about the Saints' disaster last night against the Rams and the playoff.
That's a nice word.
Yeah, and the playoff implications that go along with that. And then a name that you'll probably be hearing a lot about heading into football season next year, John White, the outstanding young quarterback that has signed a letter of intent with Southern Miss. He will be joining us. And then the voice of the Ole Miss Rebels. Now you're going, now, wait a minute, this is a Southern Miss show. No, we get that.
Yeah.
But the Eagles are playing the Rebels, a very good Ole Miss basketball team, tomorrow down in Gulfport. So nobody knows better about the Rebels than our guest a little bit later on today. This first segment brought to you by Dickie's Barbecue Pit. Probably a little bit late, you know, for maybe the – I don't know. You never know.
They can could get it in for New Year's.
Yeah, or they might be able to pull off some miracles here for you for Christmas, although I don't think they do Christmas geese or figgy pudding.
No.
I don't think either of those are on the...
No, not on the menu.
But we appreciate their support of Southern Miss Athletics and what they do for this program. All right, from NOLA.com, our buddy Patrick McGee, who is sporting his dog Blue, who's quite a chick magnet, and on social media today, Blue getting some likes with his latest picture. But something that is not liked were the results of last night's game, where the Saints just really laid an egg in the first half and could not overcome that first half, losing to the Rams. And Patrick, as we welcome you, where do we – well, let's first of all talk about the game and then talk about where we go from here. Two different halves, but not enough to overcome.
Yeah, it was – they had a couple of fourth down situations in the first half that didn't work out for them. And the one that really killed them was the one right before halftime where they were just over midfield, fourth and five, and failed to get it. So they give the ball back to the Rams, and they go down the field pretty easily. And it goes from a 10-7 game with Rams leading to 17-7 Rams at halftime. So that really sealed the deal. The Rams had missed a field goal, and the Saints had gotten a big TD pass from Carter Shaheed to make it, you know, a competitive game. And then it went back to being uncompetitive. You know, it was just more of the same with the Saints team when it comes against quality competition. Really, the only, I think, winning or solid team they've beaten this year is the Colts, and I think they caught them on a week where they could just really kind of take it to them. So yeah, this just kind of history repeating itself. The Saints just do not show up against good teams. They get kind of taken advantage of. This team's an old roster, and it just feels like they're aging. You know, every third week you just kind of reminded that these guys are a bunch of 30-somethings just kind of hanging on a little bit. Still a lot of good players that are older, but they're their best days are behind them.
30 to 20. Yeah, go ahead.
No, I mean, how you think this is going to get better, I don't know.
30-22, the final score last night. A lot of those points coming on junk points there at the end of the game when the Rams knew they had the game in hand. So, Derek Carr, is Carr a good fit for this team, or is the system that he's in just not what it needs to be for maximum points?
No, I mean, I don't think Carr is the reason this team is where it's at right now. You look at Carr's numbers. He had one interception last night. Overall, I didn't think he was awful. Everybody wants to point at Carr, but I think this is the flaws are kind of across the board, especially on offense and defense and the coaching staff. They're just not getting the best out of this team, and that's pretty obvious. I thought they would make changes a year ago on the offensive staff. They didn't do that. And here we are a year later, kind of facing some of the same issues. Can't get over the hump. Just really mediocre brand of football. So, yeah, you can point at Carr all you want, but really Carr is not the root problem for this team.
The one thing that I did blame him for, the interception was horrendous. Like, it was super terrible. But anyway, Ramczyk was out last night. How much of Carr, when he's played bad this year, is the offensive line? It was last week he and McCoy got into it. But, I mean, rushing last night, 35 yards. Yeah. Kamara, 9 for 19 yards. Are we looking at, a lot of the offensive woes, are you can point to the guys up front?
Yeah, part of it. I think they've done a better job of pass protection. I mean, early in the season, it was horrendous. With that pinning at left tackle, and really not consistently being able to run the ball. I think that's just the deal. It's like the inconsistency is just pretty clear. I mean, every week's going to be different in the NFL, but it's just one team's going to be able to find a way to kind of find the weakness or the what kind of kryptonite they have to throw at them. I mean, it just seems like every week they're against quality competition, a better coaching staff is going to beat that team, But yeah, the offensive line is problematic. They're a little bit banged up. Ramczyk was out. Pinning hasn't panned out. Just a lot of the personnel decisions in the last two or three years just haven't worked.
I told you this off air. First time in a long time I've fallen asleep. I fell asleep right after the Juwan Johnson touchdown. I was totally disinterested. I didn't know if I was more disinterested or the Saints players themselves were more disinterested last night. It was. They didn't look like they wanted to be there. And so here's the question. If Allen does not get let go, so I want to throw that to you, and two-part question. If Allen doesn't, or what's got to happen for Allen to get let go or to keep his job? If Allen is retained, I mean, what do they got to make a change with Pete Carmichael. They have to.
Yeah, I would be stunned if there weren't, if Allen stays on, that they wouldn't make pretty significant changes, especially on offense. I think you would basically just have to reboot that entire offensive staff. the fans would be in such an uproar and just disgust if this team doesn't make the playoffs and they don't make changes on offense. You have to get more creative. Have to have somebody new in there to really kind of rethink this thing. And that's got to happen. I don't know why they didn't do it a year ago, because all pressure was on them to win this year. And it was pretty clear that there had to be a change made there. So I don't know.
He's 22 and 46 as a head coach. I'm sorry.
Say that again?
He's 22 and 46 as a head coach.
Right.
He's 14 and 18. And I just scrolling through social media last night, it's just like, what are we waiting for? Somebody was joking, Tarmac Kiffin treatment. I understand he's a dude or whatever, but the point is, He doesn't have a proven record at all as a head coach, and I just don't know why you don't. Right. Why would you keep him though?
Yeah, I don't. I mean, you can't win with a coach who just spits out cliches, And I think Dennis Allen is a nice guy. I mean, and maybe that's part of the problem. I don't know. It's pretty dull, and I think the players are pretty bored. With the direction of the team and just showing up to practice every week. Nobody seems particularly fired up.
Well, we need to get Dalton Hilliard back. Yep. Hello? Are you guys still with me? Patrick, where for the playoff situation now with Saints, obviously the only team from that division that's going to win is the division champion.
Right.
So how does the math work out here for the Saints with two games remaining?
Well, I mean, the Saints are sitting and watching on Sunday, and they just have to hope, the best case scenario is both those teams kind of fall on their face this weekend. You have the Bucks playing the Jags, and off the top of my head, I can't remember exactly who the Falcons are playing. You may be able to find that real quick. But the Falcons looked really bad last week. and they could easily fall off. The Buccaneers could certainly lose to the Jaguars, even though I know the Jaguars are dealing with injuries at quarterback. So it's unclear, but we'll see. I mean, the Saints very well could win the next two games, but I don't think they'll beat Tampa. You know, I just don't think that's going to happen. So just right now, the Saints are probably going to be on the outside looking in.
Falcons host the Colts on Sunday.
And the Colts are decent, you know. But
yeah, Colts are playing well.
But the Saints lost to Tampa the first game, but beat the Falcons, yes?
Well, they lost to the Falcons.
Oh, they so did. Lost to Atlanta and Tampa.
Yeah.
Right.
Oh,
These are must-win, and they need a little help, you know.
I think they were saying last night on the telecast about a 24% chance that the Saints can get into the playoffs.
That's highballing.
Right.
No. Yeah. Now,
if they had won the game, they would have been in a good spot because they would have had a chance at the wild card or in the division title. But now, no.
Well, that's the latest from New Orleans. And, of course, you USFL fans, the New Orleans Breakers are no longer that the USFL combining with the XFL. The Breakers were one of four teams in the USFL that are ceasing operations. I think the other ones were Pittsburgh, the Pittsburgh Maulers, the Michigan Panthers, and the Philadelphia Stars. So you'll all be able to sleep well tonight. Patrick, we hope that you will sleep well and have a very Merry Christmas. Give Blue our best.
Yep, y'all have a great Christmas. Thanks for having me.
All right, Patrick McGee, second time on the show this week because of last Sunday and then the Saints playing last night. Luke, who do we have coming up?
It was bad. It was just bad. It was bad. I'm thankful that I don't have to – my Christmas Eve isn't worried. Go ahead and get it out of the way. Hey, coming up next, David Kellum, voice of the Ole Miss Rebels, going to join us as we look forward to the Biloxi Bash tomorrow, Eagles and Rebels in the Coliseum. Eagle Hour continues on a Friday after this.
The Eagle Hour, Southern Miss to the top.
Eagle Hour continues on a Friday. Appreciate Patrick McGee from NOLA.com joining us. Saints taking it on the chin last night. Dennis Allen looks like he may still be the head coach. Many Saints fans scratching their heads as to why, but anyway, we won't have our Christmas Eve ruined now. Now the Saints have already lost. Anyway, appreciate Patrick's visit with us today. Second segment of the Eagle Hour brought to you every day by Campus Bookmark on Hardy Street in Hattiesburg. Our great friends down there have all the Golden Eagle swag that you need, and you can shop online anytime, campusbookmark.net. They will be open, of course, today, tomorrow, last-second Christmas gifts at Campus Bookmark. Well, tomorrow at 1 o'clock, special Christmas gift for the state of Mississippi. Golden Eagles taking on the Ole Miss Rebels in Biloxi at the Coliseum. And happy to have joined with us now the voice of the Ole Miss Rebels, David Kellum. And we'll just call it 40-plus years of broadcasting. And, DK, thanks for joining us today.
Yeah, no problem. Looking forward to talking to you guys. You can just say long time.
I like it. I like it. And let's start there. I mentioned it I mentioned it during the break. It's very intriguing for me as somebody who just dabbles in high school sports and junior college sports in a state to have Jim Ellis, David Kellum, and John Cox all doing it for their schools for almost the exact same amount of time. It's rare that that happens, David.
Yeah, it's really cool. And we've been friends for a long, long time. We'd rather beat each other than breathe, but John's so good, does a wonderful job, and we've known each other for so long, and Jim and I too, of course, been in the same league. We run across each other a little bit more, and Jim's just fantastic announcer, and it's really unique. There's only one other announcer as far as baseball goes that I know of that goes beyond us, the three of us being in the same state, but we love what we do. We get paid to sit in a real good seat, and there's got to be some degree of talent as well, but we really do appreciate each other and respect the years that we've all put together to this point.
Got to see your perch at the state championship games where you call football games. Really nice.
Yeah.
And pretty cool being up there. All right, let's shift gears tomorrow. This is cool, not just for the fact that two teams will win in records, Ole Miss top 25 team undefeated, but David, pretty cool that we're getting this game 2 days before Christmas, and just a salute to both athletic departments, letting it be a gift to the state of Mississippi.
Yeah, no doubt, especially the Gulf Coast folks. I mean, you're doing all the shopping, trying to get ready for Christmas and running all over the place. And I know the coast is beautiful at Christmas time with all the lights and all, but to have Ole Miss and Southern both there give you something else to do. And You know, I know the common thing is to say, let the men go watch the game and women go shop. But I got a lot of women friends that get on my tail for that. They want to see the game, too. So it's going to be, I'm sure, a good crowd, a lot of fun. And both teams will get after each other in that one for sure.
So tell us about this Ole Miss team, 11 wins. Chris Beard in his first year already with victories over NC State, Memphis, Central Florida. You just took down a Sun Belt team in Troy earlier this week. What's been the strength of Ole Miss?
Well, it's been unique. We've just found ways to win, and especially at the end of the games, doing a great job there. Chris is a phenomenal coach. Coach Beard does a really, really good job. But I think that one of the keys was to get this current team to buy in and buy in quickly, and I think they have. And he's an incredible teacher, and I've been really impressed with him to this point. And, you know, we really barely know him, but he's doing a great job in that regard. And I think one of the keys is to get Matt Morrell back, Jamie Brakefield back, for those two guys to be there and to make a huge difference on this team. And then a lot of the portal guys that have come in have just jumped in there and done a nice job. And now with this waiver craziness that was going over the last few weeks, we got both of those guys eligible, and Cissé and Brandon Murray. And so we got some good pieces, and they're playing well and just seem to be making the right plays at the end of games. And you will see how far that can go. But you really like the depth of the team, too. I mean, you've got a lot of plug-and-play pieces to this team.
Yeah, David, this is Kelly Sander. When Kermit Davis was hired there, of course, he's got some ties to Southern Miss, but I think everybody
right.
thought that was a great hire. And nothing, not no attack on Kermit Davis, but why didn't it work? It's worked everywhere else. Why didn't it seem to work there?
Well, and that's a great question. You never really know, because I thought it was a fantastic hire, too, and he came out of the gates doing a good job. And Kermit is a wonderful guy, great coach. And I think sometimes we judge them too quickly on wins and losses. He's had a ton of success at different areas. Middle Tennessee was really good, had early success at Ole Miss. But, I mean, our league is just a grind, and sometimes, you know, your best efforts, you still can't quite get it done. It doesn't mean he's a worse coach than some others. I just think that, you know, he just couldn't get the success for whatever the reasons may be. Injuries were a key at the tail end of Kermit's run as well, and sometimes we marginalize those. But they're very important, especially in basketball. If you lose a player or two, that gets you in trouble in a hurry in hoops. But a great man, did a lot of good things. And Chris Beard has been very complimentary about him and the players that he left for them to use, and how Kermit has continued to reach out to Chris about you know, different aspects of the Ole Miss program. And so he's continued to be very, very helpful. Even though, you know, he's no longer the head coach. So those are all positives as well. But, you know, just put your finger on one thing, what happened. It just basically gets down to, you know, wins and losses.
Well, there are a lot of people that are you know, might be early in their play-by-play careers that obviously learn a lot from you and some of your colleagues that you already mentioned. But
right.
With your experience, is there anything that you've learned from some of the young Bucks that you really like about their style? And if so, who is it, and what do you like about them as play-by-play people?
That is a great question, because, you know, we recently had this event that was at French Camp, where we invited a whole bunch of announcers, high school, JUCO, college level, and old senior citizens like me, and we came together, and I just wanted everybody to kind of meet each other. I've been wanting to do that for a while, and Jason Crowder did a good job of getting the French Camp people organized, and French Camp was fantastic. But anyway, I'm giving them a bunch of love before I get to the answer to the question. But, yeah, we've got a lot of young people that the business is different from when I got in. When I got in, it was basically radio. That was it if you wanted to be a broadcaster. Now, with all the live streaming and different things that are going on, you can do your high school games without access to a radio station if you need to. And so it's opened up some more opportunities for more people to get involved. And I listen to a lot. I listen to high school announcers. I can't tell you. I know they steal a lot of stuff from me because they listen to me all the time, but I can't tell you how many times I've heard some little catchphrase. I said, God, that's pretty cool. I think I may use that on our broadcast, you know. So you get things back and forth. And I think the style that we all grew accustomed to was to paint an incredible picture, make you feel like you're there. And I think if you're doing radio or anything that doesn't have visual aid to it, you still got to be in that mode. And I think some younger announcers aren't and need to be more to paint the picture and be more descriptive and what have you. But several of them are very, very good and do that already. And yeah, I'm constantly trying to learn things and see how people describe particular things. You know, catchphrases change throughout the years. And I've been one of those that's tried to adopt different things. Not one particular person, but just listening to a bunch of several different people.
Yeah, when growing up, I think Vin Scully was the model that everybody set for themselves. And now,
right.
Now on the national scale, Kevin Harlan, I think, is the one, just his energy and
yeah.
what he brings
yeah.
to the table. This is an art form, folks.
Yeah.
You know, this is not something – I think the mistake, and it gets your reaction, David, and you too, Luke, a lot of people think that you can – oh, well, I played the game. I can just sit behind the mic.
It's not that easy.
There's a lot more to it than that.
Yeah, no doubt. A lot of preparation involved. I teach a class at Ole Miss in the spring that they've allowed me to do on sports casting. And that's one of the first things I talk to them about is prep. You got to be descriptive when you actually get on the air. But there's a lot of prep involved. You don't like the prep part where you do game notes on players and tendencies with teams and those kind of things that you can drop in and flavor your broadcast. If that's not what you like to do, then you don't necessarily need to do this particular job. Because I think when you get to the point where you get to the point where prep is a problem or is a burden – then it may be time to hang it up. I still love doing prep and finding out little tidbits about, you know, different players and different things that are going on in the game.
David, about a minute left. Obviously, you mentioned some of the studs for Ole Miss, DeMar Flanagan, Merrill, and Murray. Who's a guy that will be a difference maker off the bench that Golden Eagle fans need to keep their eyes on?
Well, and that could be pretty much anybody. I would think that, you know, when you look at the bench overall, we haven't had quite the production. I think that Chris Beard would like to have it. T.J. Caldwell has been fantastic in the starting role in the bench in his career. So I think that, you know, he's done a really nice job there too. But it could be one of several that could be in there. We're going pretty deep, 8-9, without too much hesitation of using several different people. So I don't know if there's any one particular individual, but I think you'll see a pretty good balance of folks that come in. Brandon Murray might be the new one that falls in that category. You know, the LSU Georgetown transfer recently yeah. became eligible. He is super, super talented. If he had been cleared before the season started, probably would be in the starting rotation. But, you know, Jalen Murray's done a great job as a point as well for Ole Miss. And so there's a lot of balance. I don't think Chris is too much into the starters and the guys coming off the bench, except just yeah. good minutes played and be solid in those minutes.
Southern Miss excited to get Andre Curbelo back. He played his
right,
first game this
right.
week. Should be fun tomorrow. Real quick, have you ever called a game in the Coliseum?
It's been a long, long time. I missed the last one. I had a football conflict, so somebody filled in for me. But the first time we were down there, I was there and loved the coast. My mother's family's from Gulfport. She passed yeah. away several years ago, but we've got several relatives in the Gulfport area. So I love the coast and used to live on Highway 90 and just ran across the highway, jumped in the water. You might get hit today if you do that. But when I was a kid, I lived in Gulfport and had a wonderful time on the coast.
Yeah, we got to go, DK. Merry Christmas. Thanks for joining us.
You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour. The Eagle Hour. Southern Miss to the top.
Appreciate David Kellum, the voice of the Ole Miss Rebels, joining us in that previous segment. Golden Eagles and the Rebels tip off tomorrow in Biloxi at 1 p.m. Third segment of the Eagle Hour brought to you every day by 4th Street Bar and Grill on 4th Street in Hattiesburg. Home of the $9.95 lunch. It is Friday, so they serve catfish today. Your loss if you missed it. 4th Street, proud sponsor of the Eagle Hour. Luke Johnson, Kelly Sander, Will Tony from the Southern Bancorp Studios in Hattiesburg, and Laurel. Signing day just 48 hours ago, and one of the names that really excited Golden Eagles is John White, the quarterback for Madison Ridgeland Academy, or MRA, and John joins us on the phone right now. First off, John White, thank you for taking some time to spend with us today on the Eagle Hour.
Yes, sir. You're welcome. I'm happy to be here.
So, man, when this signing list, when everything went official, your name was one of the tops that Golden Eagle fans were looking at, and you've been committed to Southern Miss for quite some time. Just kind of let us know, you know, how that original commitment happened and you know, why you ultimately decided to play in Hattiesburg.
I committed to them before my junior year, actually, which is not many people have the opportunity and do that during their high school career. So it was great to get to do that and lock in where I was going, and kind of I didn't really have to feel that pressure for the next 2 years, my junior and senior season, of did I have a place to go and that type of stuff. So it was great to get to do that. And the reason I really did that so early was me and Coach Hall built a great relationship over the past few years. And I really like what him and his coaching staff have going down there, and I want to be a part of it.
So, you know, you mentioned that relationship you have with Coach Hall, and he's a Mississippi guy. And has it sunk in yet? I mean, when what got, you know, your by your name every single time during recruiting was, this is the guy that threw for the most passing yards in Mississippi high school history. I mean, that's prolific, man. I mean, you're the best to ever do it. I mean, as you sit a couple of days out from Christmas, your high school career over, what does that mean to you to have accomplished that feat?
It was a great, looking back on it, it's kind of a bigger deal than when it really happened, because I was more worried about on winning the game and the season and the players around me and winning our football game. So I wasn't really focused on it. But looking back on it now, I feel great that I got to and thankful that I was able to do that and was able to stay healthy and have good enough guys and players and coaches around me to be able to allow me to do that. So I'm very thankful and blessed to have been able to do that.
Kelly?
But what are some of the challenges, John, now as you step from a high school field onto the college field when you're going to hear those, you know, those quiet voices, oh, there's John White, there's the guy that set all the records in high school, brings with it a little bit of pressure. How do you expect it to change?
I do. You know, college, everybody looks at it now as like a business. Either you got to win or something has to change. And in high school, you know, you're the guy in high school on a team. You're the leader of that team. But when you get to college, everybody else is good. You know, you always have a replacement trying to come for your job. And so there's a lot more pressure, I feel like, in college to get the job done.
Now, you will, unlike a lot of your soon-to-be teammates, you will, as I understand, be joining the Eagles right after Christmas break because you've already done your high school curriculum, yes?
Yes, sir, that's correct.
Okay, so you'll be able to join them in spring ball. What's on your punch list now, things you want to get accomplished this spring? Take us through it.
Really just to learn the game. I was blessed to have a great coaching staff at MRA with Coach Davis and his assistant coaches, but I'm really looking forward to getting under Coach Hall and Coach Long and really seeing how the game really works. You know, in high school, you can only learn so much. In college, it's a lot more terminology and a lot more mental that goes into the game. And so I'm really looking forward to learning how the game works, and it's going to be faster. And so I'll have to learn to make decisions quicker. And so that's what I'm looking forward to.
Before I send it back to Luke, I was joking off the air about it has to be an NIL deal struck between you and John White Limited Clothier in Hattiesburg. And you've heard of this store.
I've heard of it. I haven't, but I have heard of the store before.
It would make perfect sense to me, Luke.
Kelly is all about brokering deals, John.
Yes.
So he will get his cut. So just heads up on that. Anyway, yeah. No, we're joking. We had Caleb Moore and Jalen Owens, Luke Stewart from Oak Grove yesterday, other guys in this class. And we were joking with them how you carved them up for almost 400 yards. But man, when you look at this signing class, man, there is so much excitement around you young guys and just the talent. And, you know, you being a field general and kind of being the field general of, you know, the signing class, man, I know you got to be excited about the talent that's coming in with you.
I am. No, there's no doubt about that. We've been building this class for a while now, and I was the first one to commit, so I could kind of help Coach Hall recruit and reach out to guys and do some stuff like that. And he kind of used me as another recruiter out there. And so I've been in contact with a bunch of guys, and it's great to finally see the class become official. And I think right now, from what I've seen and been told, is we still have the number one class. And so that is very, very exciting for us.
We had Craig Bowman, head coach at Hartfield, Academy on it. He said he was so glad you were in black and gold because he was sick and tired of you being in red and blue and MRA. He was tired of playing you. But two of those guys on his team, Chris Jones and Reed Jezelowski, are Golden Eagles. And man, the Golden Eagles got the player of the year in the MAIS, the defensive player of the year, and the offensive player of the year. Talk about Chris and Reed, if you don't mind.
Man, they're two of the best that I've played against, and I am glad that they're going to be on my team, and I do not have to go against them anymore. They were both a handful. You know, they were the two guys that you prepared for that week, and so they had a great year, and congrats to them on the state championship. We lost to them by a touchdown in the regular season. I was hoping to get another shot and be on the same field with them one more time, but they had a great season, and they're both great, electrifying players to watch. And so I'm looking forward to being in the same locker room, same field as them.
John, go ahead. Well, I was just going to ask, all the numbers that you put together, John, in high school, how much of it were the receivers you had around you, and how much of it was, well, obviously your talent, that goes unspoken, but I'm saying your receivers and how much of it was scheme?
That was a big part of it. You know, I was blessed to be able to play an offense that throws it around a good bit. And Coach Davis, we do a great job of preparing for each week and each team of what they give us and just taking what they give us. And my receivers, you know, my first year, my sophomore year, I had Davis Dalton. I'm sure y'all know who he is.
He's at Southern now, yeah.
Yes, sir. Looking forward to getting back connected with him. He was one of my receivers, and he was great while he was in high school and on my team. But, yeah, great players, great teammates, great offensive line, great skill players, and great coaches are really what allowed me to put up those numbers.
You mentioned how good the class is, and I told somebody the other day, you know, looking at this recruiting class, number one in the Sun Belt, you wouldn't think that Southern Miss went 3-9. And I say that as a former player. So, I mean, I understand the dynamics of that. What inspired you to be unflinching and so many other guys about, hey, we're gonna help turn this program around? This year doesn't define a program, because you stayed committed.
Yes, I mean, everybody looks at the 3-9 record, but what a lot of people don't look at is how close some of those games were that could have gone either way. There was a couple, just one touchdown losses, and there was a game in the early in the season that could have, in my opinion, could have changed the whole outlook of the season and the whole morale of the team. And so the record really doesn't define that team. They had a lot of talent and great coaches. And so I think our class thinks that we might be able to, we'll be able to help and come in and tribute to the team and getting ready to turn it around.
I know it's big seeing who Coach Hall was going to hire as the coordinators. I know you got to be thrilled to have Chip Long. I mean, with his pedigree and his experience, and a guy that knows Will Hall. I mean, that's exciting to be able to get plays from him.
Yes, sir. It is. He's had a great career already, and I'm looking forward to getting coached by him and running his offense. And so I'm fired up about that hire.
Last question for me. Lots of Golden Eagle fans will listen to this interview, either listen to us live or go back and listen to it on podcast. What do you want them to know about John White and what you're going to bring to Golden Eagle football?
I feel like I'm going to be the hardest worker. I always have been, and I don't like to talk a lot and brag and stuff. I just like to do my own thing and work hard and prepare myself, and so I feel like that they need to know that I'll come ready to work and do whatever it takes to win.
Good stuff. Well, John, in a day where people are fickle in their loyalty and commitments, you were the first one of the first ones to commit in this class, and we just want to, man, honor you for sticking with that commitment and being committed to see Southern Miss football get back to the top. Thanks for spending time with us today.
Yes, sir. You're welcome. Thanks for having me.
It's John White, quarterback of MRA. The quarterback signee of this class, Kelly Sander, one of the best prospects we've had in quite some time.
Yeah, so when he gets to be the starter someday, it'll be the Eagles whitewash their opponents, or we'll have the White Lightning does it again, or some of these.
I'll say this. I think, you know, to be the age that he is, very mature for his age.
Articulate,
and being able to speak well.
Sander, are you really going to try to take a cut from him if you broker that deal?
Yes, he is.
Hey, a man's got to do what a man's got to do.
You know? Last segment before Christmas. Siegel Hour finishes up after this.
Southern Miss to the top. To the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
Great stuff with John White, Southern Miss commit, signee at the quarterback position, one of 30 new Golden Eagles. Fourth segment of the Eagle Hour brought to you by DBAT and D1 Training on Hardy Street in Hattiesburg, DBATHattiesburg.com. Pro shop still open. You got a chance. Go by there. Get a bat, get a glove for your kids' last-second Christmas presents, all at DBAT and D1 memberships and lessons. Also make great Christmas presents. Lady Eagles lose last night to Florida Gulf Coast 68-62. And unfortunately for the Lady Eagles, a couple got a little losing streak going on. They fall to 7-3 overall. The 62 points, the Golden Eagles were led by Dom Davis with 30. Ja'Coria Bracey had 10. Malia Grayson had 7. So Lady Eagles now losing 2 out of their last 3, looking to recap, get some momentum as they go into conference play. They are off until next Saturday when they begin conference play at Reed Green Coliseum, 2 p.m. against Marshall. All right, Kelly, let's go back before we talk about what's happened over the weekend. Just comments on John White.
But yeah, to echo what Will said, you know, articulate. You know, I think what the Golden Eagle Nation, though, should understand for people who are – and you mentioned – you alluded to it yesterday, Luke, on our remote down at Ramey's. As good as John White is, all right, it's unrealistic to expect that this kid's going to be able to step, you know, onto a college field and – take command of the show with Ethan Crawford's already had a year in the system,
right?
You know, bigger, stronger, all those sorts of things. So I hope that people won't unnecessarily burden this kid, you know, with expectations. Reasonable?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think anybody. I do think there are people out there that think that, you know, he may play. Well, if he plays, he can play. Ethan Crawford played this year, but You got two talented guys at the quarterback position. I know somebody's going to say, well, we've said that the last 2 or 3 years. Okay, here's what you do. You can only play with the people on your roster, okay? And Will Hall has gone out and recruited guys the last 3 years, and he has got basically the best quarterback prospect in the state of Mississippi 3 years in a row. Some of them didn't work out. It happens. Ty Keyes headed to Louisiana Tech. I get it. But you just signed the best quarterback prospect in the state of Mississippi.
And it's going to help.
All-time career passer. So, yeah, to that, competition makes people better.
Yes. And it is going to help the fact – I think it's going to help immensely that he's there at semester break. He's going to – you know, he'll be enrolled in January. So he'll get to go through the entire spring drills, learn the playbook – with Coach Long now as he instills, you know, his offense.
He's got longer starting in January. He doesn't have to rush it starting in summer school, so that's going to be a better deal for him.
All around. And
I think he's a guy, this is just something I heard just slightly. He was talking about, you know, Davis Dalton. He said he's one of my receivers. I mean, that's not a swag comment. That is that's a confidence comment. I mean, and what I mean by that is
I trust him.
Yeah, I trust him, and John White is going to be a dude that's going to command leadership, I think. Hey, I think that's going to be a real key, important attribute for Southern Miss football in the years to come.
And I want to give a shout-out and a kudos to Dom Davis on the Lady Eagle basketball team. Now, you said 30 points she scored. Yeah. What athlete, man or woman, college basketball is scoring 30 points a game now?
Well, 30 points out of the 66 that were scored.
Right.
Girl from Iowa, Caitlin Collins, but that's about it.
But that's about it. Yeah, and it used to be even on the men's side,
right?
You don't see guys scoring 30 points,
no,
you know, anymore. So I mean, that just if you haven't seen Dom Davis play, you should. I mean, she was one that transferred from LSU.
I need to apologize real quick.
Did she score 32?
No.
Oh,
I just insulted Caitlin Clark from Iowa. Caitlin Collins is an anchor for CNN.
I knew who you meant, though.
I'm really sorry. Caitlin Clark. baller, shot caller. Enjoyed watching her play. Anyway, Caitlin Clark is who I was. But to your point, Dom Davis is doing something right now that doesn't happen.
Right.
And Southern Miss fans need to be aware of that, and they need to watch her while she's still playing.
Yeah. And this is her senior year, yes?
Yep, it is.
Yeah, I think when you talk to these other women's teams, they'll say that, you know, she was the Clarence Weatherspoon with Southern Miss and with Purvis Ellis and with Louisville.
She could be hanging from the rafters one day. I mean, that's the type of career that she's having. All right, about a minute left. We'll break it down what the Super Talk Christmas schedule is going to look like.
All right, so starting on Sunday at 1 p.m., you have Mississippi Christmas with Steve Azar. That will go through Christmas Day. That would be Monday. So we are off Christmas Day. We're also airing a best of show on Tuesday. Good Morning Jones County in Laurel will have a best of show as well. So company holidays Monday and Tuesday. Hope that you get to spend some time with family like we're going to get to.
And then we'll get
best of. I didn't think we had those center.
Yeah, they have to dig deep.
I want to say those are the ones where Kelly is actually not here.
Well, that would go without saying, I would think, if you're talking about the best.
Right.
Good stuff.
When we get back to work, we'll get ready for Georgia Southern.
It's time.
We will. Conference play starts next week. Hey, that's going to wrap it up on the Eagle Hour. Got a Christmas weekend. Hang out with your family. So thankful for Matthew 1:21 that the virgin would have a child and you call his name Jesus. He will save his people from their sins. Merry Christmas to us from the Eagle Hour. We'll catch you next week. And as always, Southern Miss.
To the top.
Time keeps on slipping, slipping, slipping into the future.
Waiting. You do it at grocery stores, in traffic, and at the doctor's office. But what if you could skip the wait altogether? Introducing TrustCare Plus, a healthcare membership that makes feeling better even faster. Skip the waiting room and enjoy priority access at any TrustCare clinic. Sick kid? Text your care crew day or night. Get discounts on prescriptions and so much more. Wait no more. Feeling better just got a whole lot faster. Join TrustCare Plus today. Plans start from just $15 a month. Learn more at TrustCareHealth.com/plus.
A Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.